Welcome to the Strengthening a Palliative Approach in Long-Term Care Alliance podcast, exploring challenges and best practices in palliative care approaches for individuals in long-term care.
Today on the podcast, we're speaking with two professionals working to support diversity and inclusion in long-term care homes. Michelle Fleming is a senior knowledge broker at the Ontario Centres for Learning, Research and Innovation in Long-Term Care. Before joining the center, Michelle spent 11 years working in long-term care in various resident-focused leadership roles. Michelle is the lead on the Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion Initiative, which brings together a diverse advisory committee with representatives from across the Ontario long-term care sector. Dr. Ashley Flanagan is a research fellow in diversity and aging at the National Institute on Aging. Her research focuses on advancing comprehensive health and wellness policies, programs, and services for older adults with diverse gender and sexual identities. She is also the chair of Rural Diversity and Aging at Gateway Centre of Excellence in Rural Health and a member of the Ontario Centre for Learning, Research and Innovations Supporting Diversity and Inclusion in Long-Term Care Advisory Group. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much.
This is a great topic. I'm really looking forward to learning a bit more. I'd like to start by asking you a little bit about your current roles and how you became interested in this very specific area of long-term care. Michelle, I'll start with you.
Sure. Thanks so much, Nancy. Having worked in long-term care for a number of years, this was something that I was quite aware of as being a topic that people didn't really talk about. As a teenager, my best friend was gay and was bullied quite extensively. And I think because of that experience with him and seeing him through what he went through, I just became quite interested in these topics from an early age because I saw the impacts and I saw how much it can hurt when you don't feel accepted or included and you are brought down by the people around you. And so when I was studying and working in long-term care, I was surprised how little these topics were talked about. And in my time working in long-term care, I had a couple of residents who came out to me and shared with me that they were gay, but they were very, very private and didn't want anyone to know because they were afraid of what might happen to them. And I had gone looking for resources and tools at the time, and there wasn't a lot out there. And so when I joined the CLRI and knew that they had been doing a little bit of work, I sort of put my hand up. For us to deliver person-centered care, we can't ignore things like someone's identity and their culture and all the aspects of who they are, their language, their spirituality, their racial identity. All of this impacts people's experiences.
Ashley, what about you?
I guess it goes back to my experiences as a queer person working in long-term care, working in retirement homes throughout my undergrad and into my master's degree, and the experiences that I had as a staff, and also not seeing myself necessarily represented in the older population that was also living, whether folks were hiding or not disclosing who they are and not sharing their whole selves in that experience. It really was kind of like a light bulb moment for me where I was like, we're not having these conversations. I don't feel supported as a staff. I doubt folks who are living in long-term care or retirement homes are feeling supported in a way. So what can I do with my education and hopefully my future as a researcher to maybe make things just a little bit better through the conversations that I did end up having with folks in my master's degree and the research that I've done and throughout my PhD was a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty when it comes to aging, when it comes to long-term care, when it comes to needing assistance in some way, not being able to take care of oneself to the extent that they need and having to reach out to external supports. So all of that kind of came together to drive me forward.
I remember speaking with a man, a researcher in long-term care, who talked about the fact as a gay man, his mother had a picture of him and his partner on her bedside table in long-term care. And she could tell that a nurse was quite disappointed and disapproving. And she said that just changed the whole trust culture for her at the home.
The work that we do is all about creating spaces where people can feel like they belong and to feel comfortable and confident bringing their whole selves into an interaction or into some sort of relationship. And I think creating those spaces of belonging really ties into that diversity and inclusion focus. It really highlights the need to reassess, I think, the way that we have traditionally thought of care as kind of this maybe medical model, this one-size-fits-all approach, where it definitely doesn't fit all. We lose a lot of the interconnections and the intricacies of who we are as people. And so I think the importance of focusing on diversity and inclusion is exactly that, focusing on those spaces where people feel as safe as possible to come in.
When we think about sort of the role for training and support of the people that are working in the sector, I think, you know, there's a lot of things people think and say and do that they don't realize, and they don't intend it to be harmful. And I think there's a real opportunity to help support just opening people's eyes to learning about different people's experiences and learning how powerful language can be, how powerful body language can be even. And I mean, like Nancy, the situation you're just describing, right, where it's they're experiencing the look on a nurse's face and, you know, and that impacts the trust that they have in that, mm-hmm. that whole organization, not just that human-to-human relationship with them and that employee.
Yeah,
it can have huge consequences and huge impacts. And I think one of the things that we hear when we engage with folks working in homes is that there's a lot of uncertainty and discomfort around this topic area because people are afraid. They're afraid to say the wrong thing. They're afraid to offend. The more we can create spaces, I mean, as Ashley said, spaces that are inclusive for folks, but also spaces that are safe for people to ask questions and to feel like it's okay to not know. It's okay to make mistakes, but we need to have these conversations so we can understand that we all have blind spots. We all have things that we don't realize in all different aspects. When it comes to training related to this topic, it's an opportunity to help people to be more empathetic, to be more curious, to be more open, and mindful of mm-hmm. the impact of what we say on others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's exactly that. It's bringing awareness to that line and the understanding around intention and impact and what we could be very well meaning, but the impact may not necessarily be exactly what we're meaning or whatever it is, right?
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think of some people maybe feeling that, you know, for lack of a better phrase, need to go back into the closet going to long-term care because they don't feel comfortable sharing that identity and are concerned that they won't be cared for in the same way,
mm-hmm.
exactly. which is pretty frightening to, you know, live your life authentically and then feel that you can't in your later age. I'd like to talk a bit about the toolkit, but when we talk about in terms of diversity, I imagine we're also talking in terms of different beliefs, spiritualities, cultures, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think our approach when we tie it back to the toolkit is very much taking that intersectional approach when we think about diversity. So yeah, sexual orientation and gender identity are one aspect of it. And then there's our racial identities, there's our spiritual identities.
Great. So let's talk a bit about the toolkit. Tell me how it was developed and what's in it.
This was one of the areas that was identified that folks working in long-term care homes needed more resources tailored to the specific context and language of their world in long-term care. And we had spoke at length with the folks in our advisory committee that has people working in long-term care, has residents that live in long-term care, partners from the various associations. They felt like the tools and resources that existed just didn't fit the bill, weren't specific enough. So we decided to create our own tool that really captured the lingo of life in long-term care and was relevant to their context. So what's included with the toolkit, there is an organizational assessment tool that we actually adapted from a tool that had been created originally by York Region and then adapted by Peel Region. And then we adapted it further to the long-term care context. And it's a fantastic tool to help organizations look at what they're doing in terms of education, in terms of HR, in terms of policies and procedures that they have in place, in terms of what does their resident and family and other community partner engagement look like. And then we added some tools to help homes develop an action plan once they've done that assessment tool. Also included in the toolkit, there are some promising practices that were identified from homes in Ontario that have been doing some unique things to support linguistic populations, to support the 2SLGBTQ community, to support different racial populations. So we highlighted some of those stories throughout the toolkit. We also developed as a companion resource to the toolkit a series of posters that can support homes. One of them, for example, is a welcome poster that has the word welcome translated into 40 different languages. We also developed a poster series that was inspired by the work of Rick Gourley, who is now a retired administrator who did work for the City of Ottawa Long-Term Care Homes. These posters were conversation starters that featured situations involving individuals that were 2SLGBTQ and encouraged people to think about what they would do in that moment that they experienced that situation. And so the idea with that resource is it's to be used as group training sessions to have some conversations with a team around, you know, what kind of questions do you have about this situation? We ended up creating 14 different scenarios that were pulled from the real world experiences of people who've worked in long-term care and lived in long-term care. And the other kind of companion resource to the toolkit that's been developed over time is our equity, diversity, and inclusion calendar, which features religious days of significance, spiritual days of significance, cultural celebrations, as well as awareness days and health promotion days. It exists in a digital format as well as printable calendars that long-term care homes can hang up on a bulletin board to just draw attention and awareness to the days of significance happening within a given month. And the electronic calendar is fantastic because it includes links to tools and resources to learn more about these different cultures, about these different days. It's not just about sharing and promoting these days. It's about taking the time to actually learn about these days and about the cultures and about their experiences and hear the stories from those folks.
Oh, yeah, that's fabulous. I love the idea that you brought in real life experiences to those stories. And I would think too, and you're talking a bit about training, you know, there's training the staff, but in a way, I wonder if this is also about training other residents, because I can imagine sometimes conflict occurs between residents, maybe not understanding whether it's sexual orientation or spiritual custom, and there being conflicts that way. Does the toolkit help staff manage those situations?
I think that that's kind of one of the impetuses behind the calendar that we created, in the sense that it supports homes and specifically rec staff, potentially, who are the ones kind of doing the programming, engaging with residents on that daily basis. And so it gives staff and families, I think, to a certain extent, the ability to maybe have conversations and to engage with residents in a way that I think meets people where they're at and starts conversations. We've seen definitely kind of our light bulb moments and our moments of change and growth for folks when it comes to equity, diversity, and inclusion. So I think that that was one of the reasons why the calendar is such a big focus for us.
Yeah. So what's the response been to the toolkit?
Homes that are embarking on this work and are coming across our resource are very positive about it. They are very enthusiastic to do the work. They're very appreciative of the tools that have been created. My hope is that the conversations that it starts are going to grow and build, and that we're going to hear from homes what more they need, and that we're going to work with them to help to develop whatever that is.
So how do people access the toolkit?
So the toolkit's available on the Ontario CLRI website. It's available free of charge for download for anybody who is interested. It's available in both official languages. The website is www.clri-ltc.ca, and you can just search Embracing Diversity and it'll come up. All of the posters are available for download as well, again, translated into both languages. We do also have some printed copies available of all of our resources, so if folks are interested in getting their hands on a print version, my email address is mfleming@bruyere, which is bruyere.org.
Wonderful. And we'll make sure we put those links in the podcast introduction as well. I wonder if you can both share what you think are sort of some of the biggest challenges that we still need to overcome and what you're excited about for the future.
I think we need to go with that building momentum that's happening. We're seeing so many more people, like growing numbers of people really eager for resources and support and thinking about equity, diversity, and inclusion, and where they fit as whether allies or advocates or acquaintances in some way. I'm hopeful for the future. I think that we have lots of folks that are starting to pay attention, are starting to see where they fit and how they have historically, whether for better or worse, been a part of the histories that we're kind of reckoning with at the moment. I think with that growing awareness, we're seeing some pretty significant shifts and some changes that will continue to happen and have ripple effects.
Michelle, what about you?
So back in April of this past year, we hosted a virtual forum and we brought together researchers and long-term care homes to share their experiences. That event allowed us to hear from a great number of folks in the sector about really what's top of mind and what they're needing and wanting. And one of the things we heard loud and clear at that event was a need and an interest for more resources, more opportunities to come together, more opportunities to learn from peers, and more opportunity to learn from experts and researchers as well. What's coming next is we are actually launching an equity, diversity, and inclusion in long-term care community of practice starting in November for Ontario-based long-term care homes to share together what they're doing and share their questions and learn from one another. And I'm really looking forward to that work because I think that's going to let us build on what's happened so far. It's person-centered care and good quality palliative care. Neither of these things can ignore culture and diversity and all of the different aspects of people's identities. This needs to be woven into the care and the practice and the support that people receive. And this is what holistic care is. It encompasses all of someone's being.
Thank you both for speaking with me today.
Thank you so much for having us.
You've been listening to the Strengthening a Palliative Approach in Long-Term Care podcast. For more information about our project, visit spa-ltc.ca.